G'day, this podcast is about advice I finally figured out to give to these students who were swept up in a misguided terrorism investigation. That's right, ISIS and that type of stuff. So it wound up that these students were suspended, and before being suspended, the police came around and paid their families a visit. And eventually they apologised to them, but not so the school. So this is the advice I finally gave them, or would have given them, is to look at the system, at the situation through the lens of looking at the competency of what people were doing, the pollution of, I suppose, morals or ideas, the misguided nature of things that were happening to them, and finally the harm that was finally done in the situation. So this is to look at the situation through that particular lens when all else was failing. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. Now, I'm giving this podcast out here at the dawn of the Australian... Watching the dawn in the Australian bush, you'll probably hear a few sounds of birds as the light slowly increases. And although this is a human or social topic, it actually does have a scientific content to it. And this is from the overall view that science is not so much about tackling a particular belief or gaining a particular understanding and walking away with a prize or convincing others or beating other people. It's more about forming a understanding or an overview of a system of beliefs and being able to think and move beyond it. It's about moving above the system of beliefs. And so this is very much... in big science, which looks at pattern recognition and the significance of patterns, so that's moving above the beliefs there. If you look at the work of Einstein, he looked at developing the system of beliefs at the time and how you could move ahead of it. People can look at it through different lenses. People look at the individual breakthroughs or understandings he has. But if you actually read it as a whole, you can see that he is working over and above. And so the idea that eventually I came to is how to help these help everyone move over and above the evolving situation, to develop a view of the situation as a system of beliefs, basically as a system of various people believing these various things, and to help them quietly move ahead by looking at these three things, which were slightly based in the negative half, between the emotional negative and a more rational belief. So this is competency. You wind up saying what someone did wrong, but when you talk about competency, you must... halfway of describing competency, describe the right way things should be done. Pollution is a word that I've come up to. It's the best word I can have. This is the second area. And this is for, although someone may be doing something, they may be doing it for another purpose. So you are receiving the pollution or waste product of a totally different system of thought. So often people do things that are nasty or do things in a funny way. Sorry, the bugs are eating me alive at the moment. So I didn't expect this up here in the dorm. So pollution is my sort of way of talking about sort of social pollution, where people want to achieve a particular outcome and don't really care about the cost of what's going on. So if you can... come and think of it, people want to actually do something in life, so build a house or do something, and they wind up pouring chemicals down a stream and causing harm to wildlife. But as far as they're concerned, they've termite-proofed their house. That type of thing, that idea of pollution. Again, it's a way of, I'm sitting on this tree, sitting next to this tree, and there's these ants in the tree. And theoretically, ants shouldn't be active until the sun comes up. Okay, well, I'll have to just stand up. Sorry about this. So there's pollution. The final thing is harm. And this is, again, one foot in the negative camp, but one foot in the more objective overview look. So hurt would be a more personalised thing. Harm is being able to say, well, harm is done in multiple things. So the harm is done to you, but many, many people. And so that moves you into a space, an overview space, without bombarding people with a scientific approach. This is a way of giving students the more the tools to move forward without necessarily the overburden of things which aren't relevant to them immediately. So their attention is very much on the actual thing which is causing them a hurt. And these are terms that, if they can sort of describe that hurt as motivation through these terms and by structuring the terms and having them individually structure these terms, they then start communicating amongst each other along these terms and have moved onwards to a higher plane. Now that's from the science background, from my time involved in officer training. So I wasn't an officer, I was in charge of officer training. I was for 15 years supporting officer training, and there's a sort of parallel world between the physical world of getting your equipment and men out. You also had to get them mentally into the right space, and that's called taking charge. I can remember the warrant officers at the back going, "Take charge!" Whatever it is, but it's the idea of moving from a victim person who's under fire, ducking to cover, to a commander who is still taking cover, still not getting shot, but looking at the overall terrain and moving forward. So that's a sort of combination of moving to a higher plane and also taking charge between those three concepts which I worked through, which is to go again, competency, pollution, and harm. Now, I didn't get this right away. The incident involved required me doing research, looking through incredibly my robotics papers and stuff like that. I had a really good support from leaders in the community who would phone me up. I got an hour-long phone call from Australia's first Muslim MP, Anne Alley. And I was quite taken back, and she sent me her papers. She's a doctor in this area, and sent her papers on de-radicalisation. Now, having looked and read them, I'm in a slightly different clientele. I'm not looking at people who have got an unstable situation at home, and there's a lot of torment around them, and they need diversion. These are more intellectual people, and they need guidance of a different sort. So hopefully this is in the overall spectrum of support and help you can give, so you can give the diversionary support on a sort of more social level, and this is more if people have the leadership capacity, giving them the intellectual tools to move into the right position. Now, the entire thing with all of this is that you are moving to a higher level, and looking down on the higher level, the various things that happen are pretty much like a tapestry of history, and the threads are not, that you describe, are not definitive threads. Oh, can I say, I'm up here on this hill, and I'm looking down into the valleys. This is just inside, and it's a beautiful view. There's this thick mist rolling through the valleys. There's a sort of canyon system just about 300 metres away, but it actually goes into what people would recognise as a canyon. Now, there's mist going through. So we're talking about getting an overview of the tapestry, and people have a sort of a very strong idea that for any thread you have to describe it fully. No, you're just describing the attributes of a thread, just to give an idea of where it's going through, and you can come back and visit that and fill it in. That being said, let's start off on the first thread, or the action scene, where it's all come along. There's been a series of events where people have ostensibly followed rules and directives. They've phoned up the police and said, look, we have a terrorism incident here, please go and investigate. And so, of course, this forces the police to investigate, and they wind up going to these students' houses. The impact of these students is that these students sort of by themselves with their family and trying to work out what's going on, and a police officer turns up in a police car, and they walk in, and they're sporting the full police uniform, heavy jack boots or boots, military, paramilitary boots, guns, which is the major thing which students report caused them a bit of concern, tasers, radios and all that type of stuff, a notebook, and taking it along, serious uniform with that type of stuff, creased uniform, just trying to paint a picture. So that's the incident, and what I want to do is rewind the tape as to at various points to see how this has evolved. I think in the press, about 9 months before a careful police operation uncovered a terrorist cell at a public school at Epping Boys High in Sydney. So that's my old stamping ground. I sort of know the students and the nature of things, and they went through and actually uncovered what looked like a quite serious terrorist cell, which was radicalising students and confiscated computers and all this type of stuff. And the directive came from the education department after this, that there are to be no meetings of any students of any kind anywhere in the school, and if there are their clubs, teachers are to be present, and they are to take minutes, and the minutes of these meetings must be submitted to the principal. So this is not so much a change to the way of life, but a lot of groups were informal, often on a fringe, that quite frankly the various teaching staff wouldn't understand. I hope you can hear the first birds of the dawn coming through. So this is actually a real directive, and what it practically meant that if you were a WISIT teacher, you could talk your way out of it and actually just have your meetings as necessary. If you were a less popular teacher or you're the group that didn't so much approve, they would start ramping up the requirement for the teacher to be in the room and for minutes to be taken. It's actually quite a laborious thing to actually take and write down minutes. And so effectively this shut down all the support clubs, support things that the students had, or community support. This shut it down. So this may seem a bit extraordinary, but I sort of want to, from that thread, go back to that's a thread which has got origin in another thread. And this is the sort of slightly weird, I suppose you'd call it, oh, they're obviously a police state, inputs sort of going into Australian society. So I think in American or British society, people would be, there'd be very vocal people who would say, oh no, this is not right, we've got to do the right thing. That doesn't exist here. And one of the things I want to point out is that a lot of the countries around us have a very similar system, the Indonesians, which are to the north of Australia, had a system like this imposed by the Dutch colonialists. So there was a system of informants, police informants in every little district, and people would be watching each other and report to authorities, and the authorities would report to the Dutch people. And so they sort of, the Dutch, it's horrible to say, imprisoned the people as they came along. And of course the Japanese swept down through China and sort of made headlong towards Indonesia. There were two strategic things that they wanted to capture in Indonesia that was being embargoed by the US. So the US really forced the Japanese into the war by cutting off their oil supply and rubber supply. So the Japanese swept down the Malay Peninsula, capturing a large number of Australians in Singapore, sort of outmaneuvering us with a large fleet, came and took Indonesia. And they took Indonesia for a couple of things. I think there was a small oil supply in that area. It was the large rubber plantations that Japan needed to run their war effort. Otherwise, the Americans would have just cut them off. And it also captured the West's quinine supply. So quinine's an anti-malarial drug. So by taking Indonesia, it cut off the West's access to malarial drugs. And so there was a major crisis. But there was an unusual resolution of it in that the Germans had synthesized quinine, an artificial quinine, and it just so happened that I think the Australians then withdrew from North Africa, and then when the Australians withdrew from North Africa, the British suffered a series of reversals. They lost Tobruk, and this is all relevant. This is in North Africa. As the Australians returned, Churchill diverted the Australians to garrison Ceylon, but then they removed and eventually made it back to Papua New Guinea, an island to the north of us. These are the professional Australian army to engage with the Japanese army, which was coming down. That's all relevant. I suppose this is just an interesting tidbit that there was a German scientist that the Americans, special forces, withdrew from or was able to capture in North Africa. So there's a few funny things in the story, trying to work it all together. Get the artificial quinine and allowed the Americans to have anti-malarial drugs, which allowed them to fight in the Pacific. So there's a whole series of steps there. But the major point is that as the Japanese took over countries, they had these large countries and an ever successful military campaign meant that they had to stretch their actual occupation force more finely. And so they introduced systems of carrying cards and everyone reporting on everyone, this system they definitely used in Indonesia. Of course, the Japanese eventually were kicked out of Indonesia, the islands above us. So a lot of Australians were lost fighting through these islands, and they weren't really necessary because the war was going to end anyway. But when it was all said and done, authorities in Indonesia took over government but maintained the system of identity cards and reporting on each other. So this is something that you get when you actually speak with Indonesians or study their society. And this has an effect, a long-term effect. So there's a system of police informants and people looking over each other's shoulders. Sorry, there's a coal train going behind me. There's birds and there's coal trains. So this sort of system of informants and people looking on each other and a system of bureaucrats running things is very much a system which is easily adopted by Australian society without necessarily being questioned. So you have this